News, I'm Sherry Preston. Robert Herr, the special counsel who investigated the discovery of classifying documents in Joe Biden's Delaware home, is on Capitol Hill right now testifying about his report, which determined no criminal charges were warranted. ABC's Mary Bruce has seen a transcript of the interview the president did with Herr. The assessment?
The president does have certain moments of memory lapses. While throughout in other areas of the transcript and the interview, he certainly has a clear command of the subject matter and a detailed recall of events from years ago. But there are these moments where the president forgets certain dates, needs to be reminded of certain things. The most glaring is during a conversation about his son, Beau Biden.
An aid ship loaded with some 200 tons of food set sail for Gaza today on a pilot program for the opening of a sea corridor to the territory. Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry announcing early today he is resigning once a transitional council is in place, his country overwhelmed by violent gangs. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers wants another $125 million to help Wisconsin communities hit hardest by PFAS pollution. He says he plans to veto a Republican bill with that much money for PFAS cleanup, but he also says the bill strips too much enforcement power from regulators. The state Senate today is taking up a package of bills to make life safer for Wisconsin judges and justices. Washera County's Guy Dutcher is one of dozens of Wisconsin judges who've gotten death threats.
I was sitting in my office with an officer on either side of me with a fully automatic weapon, hearing the sirens that were screaming as the officers were intercepting him, thinking I really hadn't contemplated this as being part of the job description.
Dutcher speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A college in Ashland is asking for urgent community help or it will be forced to close. According to a Northern News Now report, Northland College officials say the Ashland school needs to raise $12 million by April 3rd or they'll be forced to begin the closure process at the end of the year. The school is the first environmentally focused liberal arts institution in the country. Officials say declining enrollment, the rising cost of higher education, and decreased financial support have contributed to the financial issues. Western Wisconsin could be getting some internet upgrades thanks to a grant program announced by Governor Tony Evers. Just over $43 million in federal funding will be used to expand broadband access across the state. Multiple projects across the Western Wisconsin area have been awarded some of the grant money, with Douglas, Bayfield, Dunn, and Barron County being awarded funding for multiple projects. The projects could bring reliable high-speed internet to about 16,000 homes and businesses. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Bucks face the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks wrap up their West Coast trip tonight in Sacramento against the Kings. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers asked just how much has Damian Lillard made the difference in scoring.
I think Dame and Giannis. I just think the combination, you know, I don't even look at them as one. You know, I think the combination of them is what creates all the action.
College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers headed to Minneapolis for the Big Ten tournament. As the number 5 seed, they host either Maryland or Rutgers Thursday afternoon. NFL, the Packers making moves in free agency. They signed Raiders running back Josh Jacobs to a 4-year deal worth $48 million. On defense, they added Giants safety Xavier McKinney with a 4-year contract worth $68 million, an average of $17 million per year. The Packers saying goodbye to running back Aaron Jones and left tackle David Bakhtiari. GM Brian Gutekunst releasing a statement thanking them both for their time in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 63 for a high this afternoon. And with the warm temperatures and all the dry conditions, there will be an elevated grassland fire risk today. So just be careful with fire. Tonight, it'll drop to 29. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, cooler 57. Next chance of rain coming in Saturday into Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Tomorrow on Busted Pencils, trending education news and civics 101.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Galvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. All kinds of things coming up on the show today. Coming up at 10:33, our very own Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, and Greg, you produce for him from 6 to 8 every morning.
Never heard of him.
He will be here at 10:33, and we're going to talk about the news that broke yesterday, right before we got off the air.
Yeah.
About UW Waukesha closing. This is not good.
This breaks my heart.
There's a lot of people, I think, who are very, very upset. So we're going to talk to Pat Kreitlow about that coming up at 10:33. 11:06, Rick Glenna from Glenna Farms will join us to talk about their first tree tapping. It's this weekend.
Are they going to send us the results?
We can ask.
I mean,
we can ask.
Quality assurance.
Absolutely. Quality control.
At Matinair on Air, we quality radio, quality syrup assurance.
Well, pretty much anything. Yes. And then at 11:33, very, very excited to have these two ladies in studio with us. Julie Rice and Becky Rost are going to join us. They're board members of PFLAG Waukesha, and this is an advocacy group for gays and lesbians and parents of and grandparents of people in the LGBTQ plus community.
Correct.
So they are going to be celebrating their one-year anniversary coming up this week, I believe. So we will be talking about what PFLAG does, how you can get involved, and we're just going to learn more about that. So stay tuned for that. We're going to start off, though, with Popcorn King news.
You know what?
Need a theme?
Yeah, because I feel like the rest of the year, Calvin, if you can pull up like a generic, like Monty Python-ish on the Holy Grail music, something like that. Because I feel like between now and the end of the year with all the, recall election, him being him, we're going to need a theme song for the Popcorn King.
At least a little intro.
I genuflect in respect.
Well, it looks like he might skate away from this recall effort. Scott Bauer from the Associated Press just reporting this about a half an hour ago, about 40 minutes ago. Supporters of President Donald Trump, who organized an effort to recall Robin Voss, did not gather enough signatures to trigger a recall election. This is based on an initial review by the State Elections Commission that was released today. Not done, though, yet. Yeah. Questions still remain over whether additional signatures could be counted. There are questions about the district boundaries because think the maps are going to be moving and the lines are going to be moving.
Mm-hmm.
It is now up to the 6-member Elections Commission, evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans, to decide whether there are sufficient signatures to trigger this recall. They confirmed an emergency meeting Tuesday and immediately went into closed session in order to get this recall to happen. Circulators need 6,850 valid signatures to force the recall. Of course, Robin Voss, not very popular with the former president and his supporters, even though he spent millions of taxpayer dollars, allowing an investigation into fraud of the 2020 election, and there wasn't any.
Jane, I'd like to just say something right now.
I'm not
the biggest fan of Robin Voss, but I will not allow you to say untruths.
What did I say?
He's very popular. I believe last year he clocked in at a 16% at a Marquette Law School poll.
I believe you're correct.
And the next one that happened about a month or so ago, he's at 17%. So, I mean,
he's on the upswing.
He's on the upswing, and I'll take every little victory. It's baby steps to freedom. But, you know, I just want to say, just respect the king and the head that wears the crown.
Recall organizers submitted almost 11,000 signatures yesterday to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But after an initial review, commission staff said there were 9,053 potentially valid. Of those, only 5,905 were from the district that Robin Voss was elected to. I've been looking on my Twitter feed and checking in with some other writer publications, we could say. And they've shown some of the papers that were filed.
Yeah.
There's one guy from Georgia, not Georgia, Wisconsin, but the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
There was a signature from someone listed from Milwaukee. I believe Milwaukee is not part of the Popcorn Kings district.
Oh, no, not at all. He would never win
if he was in Milwaukee.
Yeah, no.
So it's going to be interesting to see, but at least for right now, this does not look encouraging for the people who want to recall Robin Voss. We talked about this yesterday, Greg. It's kind of a wasted exercise, and an expensive wasted exercise, because the election is coming up.
Yes.
And from what I understand, the people who want this recall do not have their candidate picked.
No. And I'm about to get flack right now. I'll take flack, though.
Okay.
This just reminds me of the recall Scott Walker campaign, where it was, I won't say that the intention isn't there and the reasons aren't there for why they did it, but it was haphazard. It was more about the signatures and getting the recall happening than I think the actual election was. Once the election was going, it didn't seem to have as much steam. I don't believe Tom Barrett ever wanted to run again for governor.
Right.
I don't think he wanted to run the first time. And if you really want to make a difference, especially with a two-year politician, just gather your candidate, get a primary, and then take it to the fall election. Take it to when it needs to go.
Well, right. I mean, all the money that they're spending on this recall, because I assume you have to pay people to go out and get these signatures, unless they just have an army of volunteers to do this.
You can have an army of volunteers, but then if you get a recall election, then the committee or the community, like the various, you know, whether it's county or wherever the voting happens, they have to spend time and money to set up the polling places.
Sure.
That takes time and money. Then it has to go through the state. This is all, to me, a waste of time. And to those people who are on the right saying, this is Antifa and the corrupt FBI. No, it's those loony right Republicans who aren't thinking one foot in front of their face. If they thought anything about this, they would have said, oh, yeah, he's up for re-election this year. Let's just do it the normal way.
Instead of
inviting the MyPillow guy to Sturtevant, which made you look even dumber. And I looked at the population of the 63rd Congressional District. It is 59,708 as of the last census. 10,000 signatures, that I don't even think that, like, that is a fourth. The fractions aren't there.
Don't ask me to math.
It's a fair amount of people in that district, and I can't imagine that many people signed.
Well, at least, again, according to the initial report, this is from Scott Bauer, from the Associated Press, just about 45 minutes ago, supporters of the former president who organized the recall effort against Robin Voss have not gathered enough signatures to trigger it. This is after an initial review by the State Elections Commission that was released on Tuesday.
Yeah, this is just, and honestly, this is the best thing that could have happened for them, that it's not going through. Because now they can focus their time on running a candidate.
Maybe you should find a candidate. That seems like that would be a good place to start. And I don't understand why they didn't go with Adam Steen, because Steen is the one, right? Who primaried him and almost beat Robin Voss.
Yeah, got very, very close. If you just took the time and energy and put the guy out in the field and said, here, shake some hands and talk to some people, then you stand a fighting chance. But this just makes you look like morons.
It looks pretty disorganized.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it comes to pass that there are a whole bunch of signatures from people who are out of state or not in Robin Voss's district, that doesn't look so good either.
Nope. And then what happens is he runs again. I feel like at this point he would have announced in a recall, he'd be like, hey, I'm not even going to run. Just let me work. But it looks like he's going to run again. He's staved off a recall.
Yep.
That makes him look more powerful now. He can put that on lit. He can make phone calls. He can say, hey, they tried to take me down, but I'm here for you, the people of the 63rd, who I've represented for so long, and I don't plan on going anywhere, and they can't do anything about it. Vote for me. That's a pretty compelling argument.
That's not bad.
So,
are you working for his ever?
I think about political
campaigns. Are you working on his campaign arm?
I think about political campaigns all the time in theory and strategy, and I'm not the best one ever. If I was the best one ever, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be making millions of dollars in another country.
Consulting.
But this is pretty second grade stuff right here. Like, just do the basic math and figure out, do we have the time? Do we have the money? Does this make sense? Why recall a politician who's up every 2 years?
Yeah, it really seems like a pointless exercise.
Yeah.
It does. And another waste of money.
Yep.
But for the party of fiscal responsibility, they seem to play pretty fast and loose with taxpayer dollars. I don't know. Is that just me?
I don't know what you're talking about. This is all Antifa's work. Antifa's in charge of it. If you go to the house that's doing all the work, it's just Hunter Biden's laptop is right there, and you can access all the information.
Well, everything you need is right there.
Yep, including all of my passwords. That's where I put them.
855-75-CIVIC if you would like to call and or text and join us. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. We have Pat Kreitlow from Up North News is going to be joining us at 10:33, and we're going to be talking about the announcement yesterday that they're going to be closing UW Waukesha after, what, the 2025?
Spring semester,
semester. Yep. And especially since we are located in Waukesha, we would love to hear from you.
Please.
If you went to Waukesha, if you have kids who are going or went there, and what does this mean for you?
I'll say this, we can talk about it more. I'll sit before we take off and get a snack. My friend, who I've known for nearly 30 years, who I met when we went there and did theater, sent me this story.
Oh, man.
So there's like layers of heartbreak about it for me. So
you can always email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. Stay close. When we return, Ron Johnson, not working for you. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you from the Civic Media Radio Network. She don't mean no harm. She just
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the board, Lord Calvin, coming to you from our studio in gorgeous downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Before we get to our senior senator, Ron Johnson, not working for you, I did want to share this from our news department. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources asking the public to avoid burning this week. This is because of elevated fire danger. So far, the DNR's already responded to over 50 wildfires across Wisconsin just this week.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that brings the yearly total already to 193 fires burning almost 350 acres. Compared to last year, the DNR only had seen 7 wildfires at this same point last year. So we're very, very dry. Things are very, very dry. Avoid burning. Don't do the brush this week. Just leave it in the pile until things calm down a little bit. Maybe we'll get a little rain. We're going to have Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist, on. She'll be with us tomorrow to talk about what we can expect because things are going to be cooling off.
I want to remember this question. I'm going to write it down. I want to ask, how much rain do we need to get to not worry about this stuff? Because I feel like people said on Saturday, oh, we got some rain. That wasn't nearly enough.
Right.
We need lots of rain.
Yeah.
Because we got no snow.
Well, and that's a big part of it. This was the warmest winter Wisconsin has ever recorded.
Yep.
And so I also heard something this morning that was a little disturbing. People are already reporting tick sightings.
Oh, yeah. This morning on Pat's show, a gentleman who sends us a message every day.
Yeah.
On the weather from Tigerton. It's Rob from Tigerton, if you're listening. Hi, Rob. He said today he picked a wood tick off his leg.
Ugh. Those things freak me out.
They're not fun. If you go out in the woods, fun hack, clear nail polish.
What does that do?
It suffocates them, and then you can pull them off.
Oh, so you? I thought you. If I wore
you clear, drink the nail polish.
I thought if I wore clear nail polish, no. They would avoid me.
Jane. No, you carry the clear nail polish. If you get one on your leg or wherever you get it, you just put it on the tick.
Okay.
And it will.
Couldn't you do the same thing with Vaseline? It's going to be anything that's going to prevent oxygen, right?
Well, I don't know.
Send your tick tips to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. All right. We want to get to this before Pat Kreitlow joins us at 10:33. Our senior senator, Ron Johnson.
Rojo.
Making an appearance on, I don't know if it was One America News or Newsmax or one of those places, but here is Senator Ron Johnson talking about what he thinks his job is.
Currently here, inside the bubble, you hear Republicans say, you know, we need to get a result. You know, we need to effectively govern. You know, to me, that's almost code words for we got to do Democrat light. I'd subscribe more to the William F. Buckley definition of conservatism, which is standing athwart history and screaming, stop. We have to stop this madness. So there's a fair amount of stopping that's being required here. And I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
There you have it. Senator Ron Johnson not working for you. Because if they're not in power, why get anything done for the rest of the people or all of the people in the country that we share?
that statement shows that he's never listened to William F. Buckley speak or read a book. William F. Buckley would hate this man. He was a conservative. William F. Buckley was a conservative, but he had basic understandings of government work. He knew that it had to exist, but the idea of a government existing, never passing another bill. Well, guess what, Ron? If you're never going to pass another bill, you don't get to be senator anymore because we don't need you. Go home. You get no pension, but you'll be fine because you're a millionaire.
Yes, he is a millionaire.
Go work on that COVID conspiracy you've been talking about.
And that's what he spends his time on. Seriously. When you compare our two senators, Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, as a constituent, as a person who lives in the state, there is one who has actually brought federal money to the state to help build things and make things better and improve things. And then the other one spends all of his time on conspiracy theories because, again, I said this yesterday, I believe he genuinely believes it. I do.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think he did when he started talking about it. Because remember, the first term, he was quiet. He didn't talk. He was never on the news. He never made a spectacle. He was rarely ever had floor speeches televised on in like, oh, did you see what this guy said? And then in his second term, he started to talk more. Mm. He started to, quote unquote, say more. And now he's just the embarrassment that is this state. As I sit here talking to you right now, I'll say it, and I would say to his face, he's an embarrassment to this state.
I am just curious, if you are a supporter of our senior senator, please tell me what he's accomplished for you as a Wisconsinite. Because he's been there quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's done a lot of great things for his kids and his kids' business.
Yes.
They bought like 3 private planes after that 2017 tax bill that gave all the cuts to the wealthiest Americans. And oh, by the way, if you've been filing, you're going to notice that the tax cuts for all the rest of us, those went bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Those went bye-bye.
I was told by them to believe in like trickle-down ideas. And so I've yet to get my plane. I'm still waiting for my plane.
You're going to get a little model plane that you have to put together yourself. You got to pull yourself up by your own plane straps, Greg.
Plane straps. I like that.
Whatever. Pat Brightlow is going to be joining us from Up North News. Stay close. News is on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I believe that all of your dreams are the reason. You took my heart, all my keys, and my patience. You took my heart, I must leave a decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had. Something that you never seen. Something that you never been. Mm-hmm. But I wake up and Ellen, nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work. You tell me I be work.
Tune in Tuesday to the greatest radio show ever, Devil's Advocates will preview Joe Biden's visit to Milwaukee on Wednesday. You better tune in, Devil's Advocates across the Civic Media Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders at the UW-Milwaukee say losing federal pandemic money is the reason why they're closing their two-year branch campus in Waukesha. Chancellor Mark Moan says the cost of operations is going up, but revenue has been cut in half. Waukesha will be the fifth two-year branch campus to close in Wisconsin at the end of the spring semester next year. People with immune deficiencies and long COVID say they're unhappy with new federal recommendations. People who now test positive for coronavirus no longer have to isolate. Advocates say the CDC is abandoning its mission to protect Americans' health.
We don't want anybody else to have to go through what we're going through. Millions of people are just sucker punched right now by these recommendations.
Kristen Urquiza is with the advocacy group Marked by COVID. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Duluth hospital is going eco-friendly with its heating system. St. Luke's Hospital officials have announced that they have saved nearly $6,300 with their new heating system this January compared to the year before. A $7 million state grant helped the hospital make the change, which is more eco-friendly, cheaper, and heats the hospital more effectively. Officials say not only does it save the hospital money that can now be used elsewhere, but it creates a more comfortable environment for patients and staff. A significant gas leak in Duluth has prompted an investigation by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. According to a Fox 21 report, there was a 1,400-gallon spill at the shortstop on East Superior Street in Duluth on Wednesday. The MPCA is looking for the cause of the spill and managing the cleanup and say there is no further risk to the public. The Duluth Fire Department responded to the spill with trucks and a hazmat team and a few public works and utility staffers. The MPCA is excavating the affected soil. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The 2024 Oscars are in the books, and it really was a great year for movies. But as usual, the weirdest clothes you've ever seen and would never wear were on display in force. John Cena took the stage in Birkenstocks and a piece of cardboard. Most people probably couldn't even remember what Oscar he was presenting and were focused on how much room there was to spare behind the cardboard and John Cena Jr. The award was for Best Costume Design. Get it? Cena somehow looked more presentable than pop star Ariana Grande, who wore a dress designed by Bubble Yum. Her outfit had sleeves so puffy and big, they had their own area code. It was a definite attention getter and probably seemed like a great idea, until she left the theater and a gust of wind carried her all the way to Orange County. She was found safe, the sleeves were deflated, and she was returned to Hollywood, but she did miss all the after parties. The sleeves have a new gig covering the infield at Dodger Stadium during rain delays. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 63 for a high this afternoon. And with the warm temperatures and all the dry conditions, there will be an elevated grassland fire risk today. So just be careful with fire. Tonight, it'll drop to 29. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, cooler 57. Next chance of rain coming in Saturday into Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on. But eventually, I learned I had anxiety. Now, I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you live in Waukesha, especially Waukesha County, or you attended UW Waukesha, we would love to hear from you. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News is joining us. Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
Sounds like it was the Joey Tribbiani version of my name in French. So
we're delighted.
This works.
Delighted Good to morning. Have you here. And after doing your own show, 6 to 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network, wonderful Up North News Radio. Pat, we wanted to talk about, again, the closing, the announcement yesterday that happened right before we went off the air, that UW Waukesha will be closing after the spring 2025 semester, eliminating an educational option around since 1966. Is this ever going to stop? I mean, is there anything left to close?
Well, there's still a couple of two-year centers left to close, but frankly, there's been talk, you know, about some of the four-year campuses. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago when there was some serious talk about the Stevens Point campus and whether it could continue to survive. I mean, now it does, but at the risk of giving the overly simplistic answer, and Lord knows I've never done that before, but of all the many things involved, Republican budgets and tuition freezes and the changing workforce and everything else, I mean, the big one of certainly my generation is demographics. Is watching the baby boom come in. We had to build all kinds of schools. We expanded universities. And now as they're exiting the stage to retirement and beyond, there aren't the bodies there. And that's just the facts. So the system, the UW system, I'm sorry, the universities of Wisconsin, you know, have had years and years to plan for this,
yes.
But like so many other institutions, companies, people, you name it, it's like, well, we'll get around to it. And now they're caught going, well, where do we go from here?
I want to just comment on, yes, how much money did they spend to change the name? Like $500,000? What an egregious waste of money. To make new stationery?
I love marketing.
Is this what this was all about?
I don't mind. I don't mind rebranding and marketing from time to time for certain companies and entities, but when you are a public university facing a hostile legislature and you're dropping this kind of money on new business cards and a new color scheme, you're not helping your own cause.
No, you certainly aren't. This spring, 672 students enrolled at the Waukesha campus. In 2018, when UW-Milwaukee absorbed oversight of it, as part of the restructuring, enrollment topped nearly 1,800. But as you said too, Pat, this decline in enrollment and this decline just in the general population has been coming for a couple of decades. It's not like surprise.
No, and there have been other milestones along the way. For example, when technical colleges were permitted to start giving out associate's degrees. And again, there was a real and necessary debate about the role of technical colleges. You know, again, being oversimplistic, when we were growing up, the tech college, you know, known as the VoTech back then, that's where you learned to operate a drill press. And, you know, the school, the universities were where you studied, you know, Shakespeare or whatever.
Right.
And now there's been such a blending and an expansion, which I'm sure at the time was seen as a good thing. Hey, look, we're all expanding our services. But you had to know that down the road, there wasn't going to be a need for a four-year campus, then a not too far away two-year campus, and then a really close tech college to all be given out, you know, academic degrees rather than focusing on what their core mission should have been.
I also have to wonder why we haven't heard more from Governor Evers about all of these closures, especially considering he was our superintendent of public instruction for so long.
Yeah, and it would only be speculation on my part as well, but I do know, you know, from being a legislator once upon a time, that sometimes you may not like what somebody's doing, but if it's a really difficult situation and you don't have a great alternative, you tend to kind of keep your head down. And that's not any kind of a blame on Governor Evers, but I mean, if I were governor, I don't know what I would put out there to say, well, let's change all these 13 two-year centers into, you know, X, Y, or Z. These are difficult conversations that should have started a long time ago. And I don't expect the governor to have any kind of, you know, magic
solution.
Bullet for this.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you can't force people to go to the places to learn. I mean, we're living in an online school society now, and the best thing they can do is adapt. And, you know, it's going to be a shame because that's a beautiful campus right on the hill right here in Waukesha. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what they're going to do with that, what they're going to do with all that property. Well, are they going to sell it? Like, my big fear is that someone's going to buy it up and turn it into one of these for-profit universities that are all over the place.
Sure. It's possible. But again, you know, there is like opportunity in this as well, because again, by and large, it's the counties that then, you know, the land and the buildings and everything, it reverts to the counties. Each one of those counties now has an opportunity to say, what is best here? Is it going to be, you know, affordable senior housing?
Right.
Is it going to be a business incubator or something? So again, have those imaginative, creative thoughts, look mm-hmm. for funding partners, and decide to do something with it. But if that is too much work, the sooner you can put up that for sale sign, the better, because otherwise a great example up here in Chippewa Falls is the Northern Center for the Developmentally Disabled, which was, you know, the old fashioned institution, you know, I think it was officially called the Insane Asylum, you know, back in its early years.
Back in the
years.
Day. Yep.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yep.
And of course, that's long been gone. For all the old buildings there, only a fraction of the space is used anymore for training for developmentally disabled students, by and large. And all those other old buildings are there. And I so wanted, as a legislator, to find a way to take out all those old buildings and turn that campus into something new. But the answer came back, here's how much it would cost. Just cost to tear the buildings down with asbestos and everything else.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get to that point where that'll always sit there now as a rusting hulk because it costs too much to tear it down. So these counties, take my advice, figure out something and get that Band-Aid ripped off.
You make an excellent point, Pat. All I can think of is Northridge Mall here in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what a blight that has been for decades. And it's become a fire hazard because vandals go in there and set fires and all of those things. And you're right. I can imagine all of these facilities now all over the state just being left to crumble for the next 30 years. That's heartbreaking.
It is. And, you know, the thing that makes it frustrating is that, again, we knew, you know, that demographically this was, you know, part of the legacy of our generation was to figure out how do we then, you know, how do we manage this transition? Demographics at its base, but then, like I said, the changing nature of education, the changing nature of the workforce, there are more jobs than ever that don't require a college degree. But it's tough to do that kind of planning when you're spending all your time arguing about, you know, DEI and banning books and all kinds of other ridiculousness rather than being, say, proactive and getting things done, Ron Johnson, you know, to, again, forward progress in your community.
I don't know if you heard the segment right before you joined us, Pat. Ron Johnson is not here to work for you. Let's just get that straight.
No.
Let's just get this
clear. The only
clear.
Work he'll do is no work.
Is no work. That's the best thing he can do for our country.
It is. If I had one motto here, what I say all the time is those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to take care of it. And Ron Johnson is Exhibit A.
If you're just joining us, Pat Kreitlow is our guest. He's the host of Up North News Radio, which you can catch on many civic media stations from 6 to 8 in the morning. And Greg Bach is your producer.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Greg.
Pat. It's so daylighty there.
Lights here.
Get those out of my face.
Oh, cookies? Girl Scout cookies.
Yes. Okay, so little context for those watching the live stream. He pulled them up, and he's got the Samoas.
Those are the best Girl Scout cookies. Delights. Yes, they are the best.
Aren't they the best, James?
They are a crime against humanity. They're disgusting. And I would buy all of them from the Girl Scouts, throw an extra $500,000 in so someone can go to Washington, and then burn them on the lawn of my enemies.
I'm so glad to know your priorities are straight.
Yeah. Oh. Just take the coconut off of them and we're fine.
Then you take it up with the Girl Scouts.
I have. They won't call me back. They keep referring me to the Boy Scouts, and I'm like, I see what you're doing.
If you have gone to UW Waukesha, if you know, you know, if your daughter or son are attending now, or maybe a grandchild, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I would love to know what you think about this really sad news that UW Waukesha campus is going to be closing now after the spring 2025 semester. Pat, I do have to say, I am, for what I assume are highly educated people, the lack of foresight in planning. Or was this just kind of like our lawmakers have been doing for the last 12 years, is just stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 I don't want to deal with this?
Part of it is that there have been obviously changes in the legislature and changes in priorities, because even in those years, you know, a long time back now, when there was a Democratic majority in 2009, 2010, you couldn't make any plans like that because we were in the middle of the Great Recession. So nobody was thinking about long-range planning. We were thinking about surviving and saving
right.
the economy that we had right now. So it's always been seen almost as a luxury at times to do that kind of advanced planning. But it always seemed to me there should still be one or two, a little committee of three people saying, why don't we get started on this and try to reimagine, you know, what the universities of Wisconsin, you know, are going to look like.
Well, and for those of us who are a little bit older, you know, Wisconsin was renowned and respected for our educational system mm-hmm. and for our promotion of education and moving forward. And that is just, it breaks my heart to see this happening. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and I would argue still remains our crown jewel, but it is tarnished, and it has got all these dents in it from being kicked around by people who say, oh, you know, not everybody needs college. And they're, you know, it's funny, they think that people in colleges look down their noses at them. I see it as just the opposite. I see a whole lot of people looking down their noses at colleges and saying, who needs a liberal arts degree and all of that. And there's people that simply live off of exacerbating that divide of people who see the value of a college education and those who want to denigrate it for whatever reason, whether it's political convenience or, you know, their actual feelings about the value of an education in the 21st century.
Pat, J. Rothman is the head of the UW university system, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is he pretty secure in that spot, do you think?
I don't know that anybody is secure in that spot, given the makeup of the current legislature, and especially given the nature of the Board of Regents. It looks like two of those regents, John Miller and Dana Walks, are going to be fired today by the state Senate for purely partisan reasons.
No.
So I don't think anybody over there feels any sense of job security.
While they're busy firing those two individuals for not coming along and doing exactly what they want, just remember the Senate will not be taking up early counting for ballots. That's something they could have done right. today instead of firing yep. those two. There was another piece of legislation that's slipping my mind right now. We've actually talked about where it would go to. I mean, like, all the things they could be doing today, they're going to spend their time just
wasting it on this.
Petty.
Wasting.
And yep. vindictive.
On what's called messaging bills, you know, that yeah. they know Governor Evers will veto, but it sends a message, which again is in the Ron Johnson school of just talking politics rather than engaging in policy that we're actually paying you to do.
All right. Stay close. When we return, the GOP, as you knew it, is no more. And we have that from a really good authority. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tax talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a new Samsung Galaxy A15 for just $99. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Good Talk.
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. In-store activation on single Silver Unlimited plan or higher required. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We're joined by our friend and colleague, Pat Quitelow from Up North News Radio. And you can hear him weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. across many of our civic media radio stations. Going to be talking about the RNC, Pat, is no more. And I'm not just saying this, that this is my opinion. This comes from the mouth of Donald Trump Jr.
Oh.
R.I.P. GOP.
Do we have that clip, Calvin? Let's take a listen.
I think the RNC is going to be a little bit more of that old school establishment. That Republican Party, frankly, no longer exists outside of the D.C. Beltway. But it takes a little while to make that transition. But again, I think, the moves that happened today, I think that's the final blow. People have to understand that America First, the MAGA movement, is the new Republican Party. That is conservatism today. I think the RNC is going to.
There you go. If you are not MAGA, you are no longer a Republican.
Nope.
And if you are not MAGA and you were working at the RNC yesterday, you may be one of dozens of people who were let go.
Got blown
yesterday.
Out.
In all kinds of, community outreach, in data, in media, in what have you. Because, again, it's all based on a cult of personality now and not actual outreach to the moderate voters that any party needs to win an election. The parties are supposed to be our checks and balances to guard against this kind of personality cult of one-person rule, where a party can say, we don't really support you anymore. We're going to turn to somebody else. And instead, they've allowed the Trump tumor to metastasize to the point where it has completely taken over the original host and is going to lead to its demise.
Trump Jr. said the very same thing on January 6th. I remember it like it was yesterday. He said, "This is now the party of Donald Trump." And I had some Republican colleagues at the time that I brought this up to, and they just poo-pooed it. "Oh, that's not true. That's baloney. That's never going to happen." Well, here we are. And the takeover of the Republican National Committee should terrify everyone, especially if you're a Republican candidate who could use a little cash. Because I got news for you. Any cash the RNC raises isn't going to anybody else but Donald Trump.
And more importantly, to Donald Trump's lawyers. It's not even being used for Trump to campaign. It is completely a vessel to become a slush fund for his legal defense. And he's basically, his campaigning is using these trials as, kind of the backdrop to say that he's the one being persecuted rather than, that we're actually pursuing justice, for all that he had done prior to now. But look at the list of Republicans who said, "Oh, we don't want this guy. He'd be bad news." And look how they're all roadkill now. Scott Walker and Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham and all of them. And boy, the moment they realized they alone couldn't get it done, they rolled over in ways that I never would have expected. Yeah. A few years ago,
we've talked about that too. These someone who is Lindsey Graham was it was a stalwart of the GOP in the Senate, and when he came out against Trump, okay. And like you said, he got railroaded, got back up, dusted him off and said, "Well, okay, I guess we can play golf, it's fine." And then same with Marco Rubio should be honestly leading the GOP as a young man who should have taken him down. But he tried to be like Trump and he failed and he's forgotten.
Well, the one thing we did mention the other day, or yesterday, Pat, Marco Rubio is no longer the worst GOP rebuttal of the State of the Union address, because he had been carrying that mantle around for a while. You know, everybody called him Waterboy. And now we have Katie Britt, who pretty much, wow, she's taken it to a whole new level of terrible.
Yeah.
Jane, I don't know what you're talking about.
Pat Kretlow.
I don't know.
Calvin, would you do me a favor? Would you just play like 5 seconds of that Trump Jr. clip again? Just 5 seconds.
I think the RNC is going to be a little bit more of that old school establishment. That Republican Party, frankly, no longer exists outside of the DC.
He always sounds like he's holding in burps. He, like, you know how like when you hold your head up like this and you're like, you know, just fine, I'll be good. He always sounds like that to me, like, dude, just burp. It's going to be fine. Maybe if you burp, you'll forget your dad will never love you.
Whatever it is, it is now, again, everything that we used to warn people against when they love to talk about, say, you know, the Biden crime family.
Oh, yeah.
It's all projection.
Yeah.
It's all projection.
Yes.
When you look at a daughter-in-law running, you know, the Republican National Party right now, and Kushner getting the $2 billion from Saudi Arabia, this is a syndicate. And to be so willfully blind to it and still have the audacity to throw out accusations against the Bidens just reinforces why so many people are turned off this year, and why people like me, and I hope you guys, have to work that much harder to remind people that their vote still has value, and that, you know, if you just pretend this is all going to go away, it's only going to hurt more in the long run.
You know, Pat, I'm wondering, what about that? But what about that FBI informant they were talking about that was so reliable? The guy that was going to bring it all down crumbling.
Hunter's laptop.
Hunter's laptop. The FBI informant. I mean, surely that guy is the piece of the puzzle
we've been waiting for.
We've been needing in the world. He's not the hero we deserve. He's the hero we need right now.
He is imprisoned, awaiting trial for charges of being a Russian asset. So
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, funny. Man.
Russia creeps back into everything. Boop, doop, doop. I was saying back in 2016, I was telling people about the ties between Trump's campaign manager at the time, Paul Manafort.
Oh, yeah.
And the formerly pro-Russian government in Ukraine.
Yes.
And their attempts to overthrow an election. And I remember saying, long before, you know, the Mueller report and everything else, going, there's connections here to Russia that, you know, people are not talking about enough. And it's going to be bad news. And we've watched everything about Trump and Putin since then has only confirmed the suspicions of people who've been watching this guy for much longer time than he's been in the political spotlight.
Nancy Pelosi said it. I can remember that, too, like it was yesterday. Nancy Pelosi said to Trump, with you, all roads lead back to Russia.
And they do. Because, again, he admires the strongman. He admires whatever cash he's been able to receive and the attention, and mostly just to be, you know, as much a strongman as Putin and the others that he loves to talk up.
Pat Kretlow is the host of Up North News Radio. You can catch him across many of our civic media radio stations weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. Thank you so much for joining us, Pat. Really appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Stay tuned for news coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, it's Maggie Dawn. Tuesday on my show, I'm going to be talking about Representative Nancy Mace. What a disgrace!
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The special counsel who investigated Joe Biden's handling of classified documents is on Capitol Hill.